The knockout stages began with a bang as last season's finalists were pegged back in a pulsating affair in Turin.
And Tottenham are on terms in Turin. They've come back from two behind to level it in this first leg. Eriksen delivers with a set piece.
Meanwhile, Manchester City brought their emphatic domestic form to the European stage with a resounding first leg victory in Basel.
Gundogan checks onto his right foot and curls in a beauty, his second of the night, and that makes it 4-0.
So all the best analysis and reaction to come as we hear from Vincent Kompany and İlkay Gundogan. Plus we'll hear from Zinedine Zidane and Jurgen Klopp as we look ahead to Wednesday's round of 16 first legs, with 12-time champions Real Madrid hosting Paris Saint-Germain and Liverpool travelling to Porto. So stay with us right here on UEFA Champions League Match Day Live. Welcome to the show. I'm Rob Daly and I'm joined by European football expert Chris Parrott. It's good to be back, Chris. Just the 8 goals in the opening two matches in the knockout stages.
Extraordinary. The expected in many ways in Switzerland, Manchester City blowing Basel away, continuing their domestic form. They're just unstoppable going forward. And then the wholly unexpected, frankly, in Turin, Juventus conceded, which they haven't done in 2018. Tottenham fighting back from 2 goals down against a mighty Juventus team. It was a thrilling, brilliant start to the last 16.
OK, the first legs of the opening two round of 16 ties finished like this. Juventus 2, Tottenham Hotspur 2, Basel 0, Manchester City 4. And we'll begin with that match in Turin, where last season's finalists Juventus hosted a Tottenham side that impressed in the group stage. Phil Blacker was lucky enough to watch this one.
Taken quickly. Oh, they've scored already! Shot into the corner across the goalkeeper from Higuain. Tottenham caught out inside the first 2 minutes. Ben Davis goes into the book for the challenge. Juventus have a penalty. Higuain, who scored the first, stands over the penalty against Hugo Lloris, strikes it right-footed and scores again. Once more, Lloris got a touch to it, diving down to his right. Again, he can't keep it out of the corner. And Higuain scores a second for Juventus in the first 8 minutes of the match. One back by Dele Alli, slips it through for Harry Kane. Kane's onside, he's around Buffon. Harry Kane scores this time. Tottenham are right back in the tie. Kane delivers when it matters most. And Tottenham's pressure, which had been building and building, has paid off.
There's Douglas Costa trying to change that, though, setting off on a surge in towards the penalty area. Then going down inside the penalty area. And it's another penalty for Juventus. Gonzalo Higuain, it's blazed against the bar and bounces back out again. He can't take the chance. It's the last kick of a quite remarkable first half of football. Tottenham's belief remains intact.
Christian Eriksen, what a moment this would be to strike a perfect free kick.
He stands to the left of the ball, Lamella to the right. It will be Christian Eriksen low under the wall and into the bottom corner.
And Tottenham are on terms in Turin. They've come back from two behind to level it in this first leg. Eriksen delivers with a set piece. A stunning story developing. It's Juventus 2, Tottenham 2.
And that is not the ending yet, because we have the second leg, of course, at Wembley next month. Phil Blacker joins Chris and myself now on the show. Phil, one of the best games you've covered this season, I imagine.
Fabulous entertainment right the way through. The first 45 minutes in particular, one of the best halves of football that I can remember for a long time. Had a little bit of everything from the stunning start that Juventus made, the two goals in the first 9 minutes, the questions of Tottenham's temperament, their character, that asked at that stage, emphatically answered. Harry Kane getting one back, having missed an earlier chance before that, which got them right back in contention. And then potentially, of course, going behind with the last kick of the first half, only for Higuain to hit the crossbar. I still think that could be a major moment in the entire tie, actually. Particularly so when Christian Eriksen, who had an excellent all-round display, got his rewards with that free kick as well. 2-2. Both teams had further chances as well. I did think, as a first leg, as we sometimes get in the knockout stages, this might be tight and tense for a while. It was anything, but it was brilliant.
It was. And the two halves were very different, actually. The second period was a bit more cagey. It was the game I think we expected. It was played at... I can't remember a game being played at such a pace. Certainly the first half was really memorable. Higuain could have had four because aside from the penalty miss at 2-1, at 2-0, he had a counter-attack, a really good opportunity that he would normally take. And then in the second period, it was Juventus were more on top than they were in the first half, but they ended up conceding the only goal of the second half of Eriksen's free kick. 2-2 was about a fair reflection, but it had absolutely everything. And again, I think you just have to heap enormous praise on Tottenham. They could have folded. Lesser teams would have folded. Tottenham would have folded last season, I think, in the competition when they got knocked out in the group stage. But just a sign of their development as a team and as a group of players. And, you know, they will be bouncing out of Turin because to get a draw when we kicked off would have been a great result. To get one after being 2-0 down is a wonderful achievement.
Well, let's hear from their manager, Mauricio Pochettino.
But I think we conceded the first goal that maybe was an upside, and of course we struggled a little bit in the first 7 minutes, and then we conceded the penalty and 2-0 down. But after that, the team showed great character, and I think we played much better. And we were much better than Juventus. We showed a great character, and I think on the end, I think we deserve more, not only the draw.
Quite telling there. Pochettino said we were much better than Juventus. Harry Kane has tweeted, meanwhile, huge character to come back from 2-0 down, two big away goals, and now looking forward to the return leg at Wembley. Toby Alderweireld injured for the first leg, says looking forward to the next leg at Wembley. For Pochettino, he continues to have notable moments. We all knew he was a good manager, but we're seeing, you know, think of Real Madrid away, Real Madrid at home, and now tonight, Phil, as well. He's really establishing himself.
And it was a new territory for him in the knockout stages of the UEFA Champions League for the first time. Tottenham, under him, had already proved, I think, in the group stages when they got more points than any other team in the group stages, only dropped two in the entire section, that they'd learned lessons from last season. You wondered now it was the next step up, how knockout football would affect them, particularly when they went 2-0 down so early. I think what he has instilled more than anything, obviously the work ethic is a minimum. You know what you're going to get from a Pochettino team in terms of the pressing when they don't have the ball, the intensity of the play. They were able to maintain that for virtually the entirety of the game in Turin. They had difficult spells. I think both bosses admitted beforehand that was always going to be the case in a tie that was likely to be as tight as this. But they had that belief. The word character, Harry Kane's used it, it keeps coming back. That's, I think, what Tottenham will take most from this. They prove that character. They had to dig deep into their mental reserves of strength. And they weren't just not found wanting. They rose to the challenge. And as Pochettino said, and I think that sort of encapsulates the confidence in the Tottenham camp now. He wasn't afraid to come out and say, with the second leg still to come, that we were better than Juventus, we should have won this game. I think that sort of confidence seeps through to the players as well. And there's a real sense of momentum building in this Tottenham squad, backed by the wins over Arsenal and Manchester United domestically as well. Still got to finish the job at Wembley, though, if they're to build on it, of course.
Fifth in the Premier League in England, but taking apart Real Madrid this season. Very good performance tonight. Harry Kane has equaled the record for most goals scored by an English player in a single season in this competition, now on 7, level with a record set by Steven Gerrard. And what a night for him, Chris Parrott. I mean, he was all over the front pages of the Italian sports papers this morning.
He was, and we thought it was going to be Gonzalo Higuain's name who was going to dominate after 9 minutes when, you know, there was barely any talk about Higuain before the game. It was Kane, even in the Italian press, and it was as if the forgotten man Higuain, the other great goal scorer, we're talking about great goal scorers when we talk about Higuain and Kane, who got to. Harry Kane missed a really, really good chance before he scored, and the way that he was so composed when he finished from Dele Alli's cute ball was excellent. In the second half, he didn't have too many touches, Harry Kane, but he still led the line well. And Chiellini and Bonatia were absolutely unruffled by him. He was terrific tonight. What Phil mentioned there about finishing the job now, because it seems, and it was, a really good Tottenham performance. But they didn't win the game. And, you know, that sort of snarly old veteran, been there, done it, Juventus, they're still absolutely in this tie. Yes, Pochettino says that they were second best. They were for long periods, but they drew 2-2 and they still have every chance. And they were nowhere near at their best, Juventus. But great teams, when they're under pressure like this, find ways not to lose. And Juventus did it again.
And they've reached two of the last three finals, not by any accident. They have the experience of these situations. Tottenham answered all the questions that were asked of them in this first leg. There are going to be more questions to come in the second leg. Can they get themselves over the line? And I do think as well, the way that the game is set up now, 2-2, the edge is with Spurs, the two away goals. That's going to increase the pressure on their shoulders, and it's, in a way, I think, going to formalise the game plan for Massimiliano Allegri. Having gone 2-0 up in the first leg so early, there did seem stages where they didn't quite know how to approach it. Their minds are almost made up now. They're going to have to go to Wembley and win, and they are a side with players of vast experience, of real quality. They are capable of doing that. Of course they are.
Juventus are now 27 games unbeaten at home in UEFA competition, but it might feel a bit like a loss tonight for Juve. 2-2, it's finished, and they'll possibly have to win at Wembley when the two sides meet again for the second leg on Wednesday, the 7th of March. Of course, we'll have that as our featured commentary on Match Day Live. Next, we go to Switzerland, where Basel took on the English Premier League's runaway leaders, Manchester City. Steve Wyeth saw this one.
Corner whipped in right-footed, Gundogan with the header, and this time he beats Vasilic. Wonderful delivery by De Bruyne, whipped in dangerously, and Gundogan escaped his marker at the near post to flick a header that was simply too powerful for Vasilic to react, and Manchester City lead at Basel by a goal to nil. De Bruyne releasing Sterling, left-hand side, Aguero awaits the cross, it's flicked away from him, but Bernardo Silva's arriving, and his shot has just enough power on it to beat Vasilic, and Manchester City lead 2-0. Ball falls for Sergio Aguero. It's 3-0 to Manchester City. And of course, Sergio Aguero has got in on the act. From 20 metres out, a dipping right foot shot that wrong-footed Thomas Vasilic. And Manchester City are 3-0 up in Basel in next to no time. Going it alone for the time being, Aguero now to Gundogan. Gundogan checks onto his right foot and curls in a beauty. His second of the night, and that makes it 4-0 to Manchester City. Gundogan afforded space on the edge of the penalty area, picked his spot and executed to perfection. Basel 0, Manchester City 4.
Yeah, much like they've been taking apart English sides this season, City at it on the continent. Steve Wyeth joins us now. Steve, how impressed were you by City?
Very. 34th win of the season in all competitions for Manchester City. They've now scored 33 goals since the start of the year, and they just picked up where they left off against Leicester in the Premier League at the weekend. A 5-1 win on that occasion, another four-goal margin of victory this evening. They were just too fluent, too quick, and too ruthless in front of goal for Basel to contain them. And although the Swiss side did have opportunities on the counter-attack that might have made things very different if they'd been able to take them at the other end defensively, they just could not contain City, who bamboozled them with their movement, and the finishing was exceptional, in particular the fourth goal from Gundogan.
Well, let's hear from Vincent Kompany, the Manchester City captain, but first the very man that Steve was talking about there, İlkay Gundogan.
I mean, the result was maybe perfect, but I think the way we played, there are still plenty of things to improve. But this is Champions League, 80 finals, so it's always tough, it's always difficult. Didn't concede today, that was the most important thing as well. It seems like a comfortable win, but the game was quite intense. I think Basel had also chances to score. Yeah, but of course we are very happy about the result.
I thought the pitch was difficult, really difficult actually. It was freezing out there. So yeah, so all these conditions where you think, you know, could it be difficult today for us? And I thought for a Champions League game we did ever so well.
It's a company making his return to UEFA Champions League football. They were caught out in behind, and Gundogan hinted at it there, Steve, that they, at times defensively, they were caught out by Basel.
Yeah, twice at 0-0. Dimitri Oblin got in behind, and certainly with the first of his opportunities, should have done much better than fluff his lines when bearing down on goal. And in the latter stages of the game, as City perhaps just dropped the tempo down a notch, that gave Basel the encouragement to take the game to them again. And they had one or two opportunities, a good one in particular for Oblin with a header, that if they'd have taken it, it might have made them feel a little bit better about the margin of City's victory, but 4-0 didn't flatter the visitors tonight, Rob.
Steve, I mean, it looks, barring a miracle, really, that Manchester City will be in the quarterfinals. Should we just, you know, do we need to talk about them looking susceptible at the back, or are they so good going forward that they'll just be able to outscore anybody? Because if Basel caused them problems, then if they were to run in, I don't know, to a team who had maybe better players going forward, they might come unstuck.
Well, when they went out last season at this stage, Manchester City, I'm sure you'll remember those two fabulous games against Monaco. They went out on away goals. The sides drew six apiece. It might take something like that to stop Manchester City again this season. Because, yes, if Basel, with the greatest of respects, on who were rusty having played just twice since their six-week winter break, can put the City defence under pressure, then maybe one of the more experienced UEFA Champions League campaigners can do so as well. But they'll take some stopping, Manchester City. I think it'll take a high-scoring game to knock them out.
And Steve, I know he's been praised all season, but Kevin De Bruyne, his silky passing and everything in midfield was simply wonderful yet again.
Yeah, I thought all five of City's most attacking players were exceptional this evening, and Fernandinho anchored the midfield with the expected fluency. But yet, De Bruyne, when he gets on the ball, you expect magical things to happen. The player who really stood out for me tonight, Sergio Aguero. He was the one I felt Basel just didn't know how to stop him. The ball was sticking to him at times. And his selfless running creates space for teammates. He scored all of these goals this season, 29 in all, 14 since the turn of the year. Yet it's the work he does for his colleagues that stands out at times as well.
Steve, thank you very much. We'll ask you your man of the match a little bit later on. Coming up, we'll look ahead to tomorrow's round of 16 ties as Real Madrid host Paris Saint-Germain and Porto face Liverpool.
Everyone can enjoy football, no matter who you are, where you're from, or how you play. Equal Game is a new UEFA Respect social responsibility campaign that positively promotes inclusion, diversity, and accessibility in football throughout Europe.
You're listening to Match Day Live with Chris Parrott and me, Rob Daly. We have two more fantastic fixtures on Wednesday night in the UEFA Champions League round of 16. Starting with perhaps the most mouth-watering of all, as the holders Real Madrid take on Paris Saint-Germain. The encounter sees two of the game's biggest superstars collide in the form of Cristiano Ronaldo and Neymar. But Real Madrid head coach Zinedine Zidane is adamant that the game is about more than just those two players.
I'm not going to compare the two players right now. Neymar, everything he does, everything he accomplishes on the pitch, we are aware of it. He's a great player, decisive game after game, but tomorrow it won't be a duel between Cristiano and Neymar. It's a match between Real Madrid and PSG.
Zinedine Zidane there. Adam Summerton will be our commentator for this one, and he joins us now. Adam, a pick-up in form for Real Madrid of late, but they're still way off Barcelona. Do you expect to see a different side in the UEFA Champions League to the one we've seen in the Spanish Liga?
Yeah, quite possibly. There's so much pressure on this game, and so important that Zidane gets the team selection right. A man under enormous pressure. Really, it's all on this, isn't it, for both of these sides? When you think about it, Real Madrid way off the pace in terms of La Liga. They're not going to win the Spanish top flight, and Paris have already pretty much sewn up the French top flight. And these are two clubs who you would never have been surprised had they. This could have been the final. You know, it's that big a tie, but. It's defensively, Rob, where I think Real Madrid have got the biggest concerns. One clean sheet in their last nine matches, and you're about to come up against a front three of Mbappe, Cavani and Neymar. That's got to be a concern.
Is this the evening when we find out just how good Paris Saint-Germain are, though? Of course, it was a year ago we thought they had that breakthrough against Barcelona, but then lost the second leg, but away in the Bernabeu, that's the night, isn't it, when we find out how good Cavani, Neymar and Mbappe are together?
Yeah, absolutely. It's the acid test that they've probably been waiting for as a group, as a collective, as a club, since what happened against Barcelona in the Camp Nou. You know, how scarred are they as a club by what happened? How much will that be in the back of their minds? Another trip to Spain where it all went so badly wrong for them. It's going to be fascinating to find out. If you look at the squad, you can make you can certainly make a strong argument that they're in better shape now. And you look at that front three in particular with the additions of Neymar and Mbappe, two world-class players. I would argue that they've added a world-class player in defence as well in Dani Alves. So they are perhaps on paper an improved side. But what about the mentality? Because that's so important against the real top sides in these sort of ties.
Are you thinking back to last year's tie against Barcelona when you say that, Adam?
Well, the mentality?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. The mentality wasn't right, was it? Clearly. I mean, we all saw the panic collectively go right through that side on the pitch. And that is what I wonder, whether they have got past now. Has Unai Emery got past that?
Sure.
as a head coach? They're going to be looking to him, aren't they, for guidance. They're going to be looking for his reactions on the touchline. Massive factor, I feel, in a game of this magnitude. What is the body language from the coach? You know, who's going to lead out there on the pitch? And the players that were involved against Barcelona, what did they learn from that? How have they moved on? It's going to be so interesting.
And we talk about the Paris front three, the sort of famed Real Madrid, who in some people's eyes have been a bit fading this season with Bale, Benzema and Ronaldo. Do you expect all three of those to start? Of course, it was Isco who was the man last season. Zidane's team selection is going to be fascinating, isn't it?
It absolutely is, yeah. I suspect he might go with Bale, Ronaldo and Benzema, but Isco is clearly, you know, a fascinating factor to put in there as well. And, you know, last season I thought he was absolutely outstanding. He was brilliant in the final as well, where he was picked ahead of Gareth Bale in what would have been a home final, wouldn't it, to start in for Gareth Bale. Did eventually come off the bench in that one. But look, you know, I remember it being not that long ago. We only have to go back to the summer and when they beat Barcelona in the Super Cup in Spain. You know, people were talking about this team dominating Spain and Europe for years to come. Now, it shows you how quickly things can change in football. Can they get back to that? Well, if they can, this is the night to do it.
Adam, you're absolutely right. Thank you very much. Adam Summerton will be our commentator for Real Madrid against Paris Saint-Germain. We're going to have full commentary of that one from 19:30 Central European time tomorrow evening. Also on Wednesday, Porto host Liverpool, and the Liverpool manager Jurgen Klopp is confident of his side's chances over the two legs.
We need to get a result here, but as you can imagine, we believe in Anfield. We really know that Anfield is a place where the crowd can make the difference, and that's what we will want to use in the second game. But for that, we need a result in the first game. So we will fight for everything tomorrow night, for sure. We don't think about deciding the stage already. We think about getting a result with gives us a good chance in the second game. But it will be hard work, we know that.
Mark Scott will be our commentator for this one, and he joins us now. Mark, we've seen the good and the bad of Liverpool in the UEFA Champions League this season. How do you see them faring in Portugal tomorrow night?
Well, I think it's an interesting one, Rob, because looking at it from a Porto perspective, there's a bit of a feeling that out of all the teams they could have been paired with, Liverpool are probably the side that they would have preferred, because they have the strength that maybe Liverpool will find it difficult to cope with. You mentioned that the good, the bad and the ugly. Obviously, defensively, there's been so much written and said about their failings in that area, and Porto certainly have the power, especially in set pieces, to cause some issues if Liverpool are still suffering weaknesses there. But on the plus side for Liverpool, you've obviously got the pace, the sheer pace that they have going forward. You look at Salah and Mane as the main two that have got those qualities in abundance, and that's why it's a huge boost for Porto that even Marcano's been past fit to play. He's been out with a thigh problem since the back end of January, and with the fact that Felipe's suspended as well, that would have meant their first choice centre-backs would both have been missing. So Sergio Conceição, a relieved man when he spoke to the media earlier on today, confirming that Marcano would be fit. And it's a very interesting matchup, because I think it's two teams that will both feel they've got a very, very good chance of progressing and will both be on the front foot.
It's been a long time since Liverpool, five-time winners of the competition, have been through to this stage. Do you think they're going to approach this game like they seem to every match and basically just go for it? Do Liverpool have any other way of playing under Jurgen Klopp?
Chris, I don't think they do, and that's not being disrespectful to Jurgen Klopp. I just don't think that he knows any other way. It's almost instinct. I remember covering a lot of matches when he was in charge at Dortmund, and, you know, big, huge crunch Champions League games. They never sort of played that sort of cagey game where they maybe tried to feel out the opponent and just stay in a match. It was always on the front foot. Sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. But no, I don't think they do have another way to play. He was saying to the media earlier on, Jurgen Klopp, that you know, they need to make sure that they go back to Anfield with something still to play for, and then they can rely on the famous home atmosphere to help get them over the line. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what his lineup is, because he hasn't really got much to play with in terms of squad depth. A lot of the players who featured in the comfortable victory over Southampton on Sunday will probably start again. Midfield-wise, it's interesting. Chan suspended. That's going to be a big blow. You just wonder how fully 100% ready to go Henderson and Lallana are. So, I fully expect this. I've probably jinxed it now, but both teams to be going all guns blazing.
Told that Vincent Aboubakar could miss out for Porto. 20 goals in 28 games this season. Striker would be a big loss.
He would be, Rob. Yeah, you know, 84 goals in all competitions this season for Porto. Aboubakar, obviously, a major factor in that with Marega and Brahimi as well. The thing is that, you know, Aboubakar would be obviously a big blow if he wasn't able to feature. But they have the ability of Brahimi to create so many opportunities for any number of other players in the side. And you can't also take out of the equation Alex Telles, who's, I think he's got something like 10 assists from left back this season. So they've got goal threats all over the place, and everyone knows fully about Liverpool's ability in attack as well. So it has all the hallmarks of an action-packed encounter.
Can't wait, Mark. Thank you very much. Make sure you tune into Match Day Live from 19:30 CET on Wednesday night for all the action and reaction from two great round of 16 ties. A reminder tonight, Juve 2, Spurs 2 in Turin. We've got the thoughts of Hugo Lloris, who says that scoreline sets up the second leg very nicely.
Listen, there is still a second leg to play, and it's still open for both teams. I think we showed a lot of character today, a lot of personality against one of the best teams in Europe. And even 2-0 down, we kept belief in ourselves, and that's the key.
They certainly did. Spurs with that draw, an even better result for Manchester City. 4-0 victory at Basel tonight. Here's their manager, Pep Guardiola.
It's an excellent result for us. We are almost in quarterfinals. Of course, Champions League is 180 minutes, and we'll take the next game seriously, but it's an excellent result.
Yeah, said the likes of Benjamin Mondi might be returning soon as well. Lots of positives for Manchester City after tonight. Leroy Sané returned from injury too. Let's get a man of the match from Steve Wyeth then on Basel, Manchester City. Steve, who was the outstanding performer?
Well, Pep Guardiola described two-goal Ilkay Gundogan as an extraordinary player, so he hardly needs my platitudes as well. So I'm going to go for Sergio Aguero, who scored his 14th goal of 2018 tonight and ran selflessly throughout.
Thank you very much, Steve. Juve 2, Spurs 2. Chris and Phil, your man of the match. Chris, you can start.
It's a hard one, but Moussa Dembele, thought he dominated the game and was crucial in Spurs coming back from two down.
I think there were two, Dembele, and therefore I will go for Christian Eriksen. The free kick finished it off, but I think his overall performance, he was at the heart of much of what was good about Tottenham's performance, particularly creative. I thought he was right at the top of his game.
Who's going through from the tie?
Tottenham for me.
Yeah, Tottenham for me. They showed that they can cause Juventus all sorts of problems, and I don't think Juve will be able to cause Spurs as many problems. I hope the second leg is as good as the first. That's one of the best games of football I've seen this season.
Gents, thank you very much for your company this evening. That's all we have time for on UEFA Champions League Match Day Live. And what a night we've had to kick off the round of 16 as Tottenham came back from two goals down in Turin to hold last season's finalist Juventus to a thrilling 2-2 first leg draw. Then in Switzerland, Manchester City continued their relentless domestic form with a comprehensive 4-0 win against Basel on the European stage. Join us again from 19:30 Central European time on Wednesday night when it's the small matter of Real Madrid versus Paris Saint-Germain at the Bernabeu, and Porto against five-time European champions Liverpool as well. Until then, from Chris Parrott, Phil Blacker, Steve Wyeth, and myself, Rob Daly, it's goodbye.
Corner whipped in right footed. Gundogan with the header. And this time he beats Vasilic. And Manchester City lead at Basel by a goal to nil. Bernardo Silva's arriving. And his shot has just enough power on it to beat Vasilic. And Manchester City lead 2-0. It's 3-0 to Manchester City. And of course, Sergio Aguero has got in on the act. Gundogan checks onto his right foot and curls in a beauty. His second of the night. And that makes it 4-0.
Taken quickly. Oh, and they've scored already. Shot into the corner across the goalkeeper from Higuain. And Higuain scores a second for Juventus in the first 8 minutes of the match. Kane's onside, he's around Buffon. Harry Kane scores this time. Tottenham are right back in the tie. Christian Eriksen low under the wall and into the bottom corner. And Tottenham are on terms in Turin. They've come back from two behind to level it in this first leg.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.